Scripture lesson this morning, Luke, the 24th chapter, beginning at verse 36. This is after Jesus' resurrection and his different appearances with people. He had just walked with the two on the road to Emmaus. And now in verse 36, as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed they had seen a spirit. Diglot says, phantom. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it is behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. That's Luke 24, 36 through 48. Let's bow in a prayer. Our Father, we do pray for your presence here with us today as we have met to study and to worship and to uplift your name, to glorify you as it is our ability and opportunity. We continue to pray for those who are sick and afflicted among us, those may be downhearted or discouraged or lonely. Help us all to love one another and to uphold one another in the faith. We pray for your direction and understanding as we look into this portion of your word today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Through the years, I have used this 44th verse of our scripture lesson to talk about the witness of the Hebrew scriptures regarding the suffering Messiah. And you notice that he says that these words are the words that I spake unto you when I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. These are the three divisions of the Hebrew Scriptures. We were introduced to these divisions in a course under Rabbi Philip Shulman, which we took at the Indiana University at South Bend in the 1950s. He was with a Reformed congregation. That means not Orthodox, but a little more on the liberal side, but giving their services in English. In Hebrew, they are Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. These are the three names: Torah, Law, Nevi'im, Prophets, Ketuvim, Writings. And if you talk to a Jew, he calls all three of them the Tanakh. If you write Tanakh, it has the first letters of Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim in the word. And the Jews rate the books of the Bible in importance according to this division. To that, to them, most important of all is the Torah, the writings of Moses. And then after that, the prophets, and last of all, the miscellaneous writings. And in fact, I'm going to read those to you because I think it's interesting on the divisions. The Torah, of course, is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But the Nevi'im is Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the 12 minor prophets. Then the Ketuvim, or the Psalms or writings, are Psalms, Proverbs, Job, Song of Solomon, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, Esther, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Chronicles. I asked Rabbi Shulman why they put Daniel in with the miscellaneous writings. He said, well, it's a sort of an apocalyptic book, and we really can't understand it. And I thought that was very interesting that they would kind of put it on the back burner because they found it hard to understand. But anyway, those are the books and how they are arranged. And from the fact that what I'm saying about this is that from the fact that the resurrected Jesus, Luke 24, used the Psalms to help prove his messiahship, we can safely say that the Psalms are not just nice little devotional songs or poetry. In other words, they're very important. And we find that all of the major doctrines of the Bible are in the book of Psalms. So they're very important. One of the things that I've found out about this, too, in the Reading Companion Bible, that's what CB stands for, but I found it in other books, too, that there are 5 books of the Psalms. And the Jewish commentator said, Moses gave to the Israelites the 5 books of the law, and corresponding with these, David gave them the 5 books of the Psalms. That's an interesting concept, that Moses gave the 5 books of the law, David gave the 5 books of the Psalms. And I have listed on the board, if you can read it, the 5 books of the Psalms. In fact, I have marked in my Bible these divisions, and if you mark in your Bible, mark this. You can do it later if you care. But Psalms 1 to 41 are the Genesis book. Psalms 42 to 72 are the Exodus book. Psalms 73 to 89 are the Leviticus book. Psalms 90 to 106 are the Numbers book, and Psalms 107 to 150 are the Deuteronomy book. One of the things that's very interesting, and that this is evident in the scriptures themselves, if you turn to the book of Psalms and go to the 41st Psalm, you're going to find that the last verse of the 41st Psalm has a doxology. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. So it's just like, here is a book. We have finished this book. And so here's the doxology. Blessed be the Jehovah God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Then you go to the end of the 72nd Psalm, and you will find another doxology. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wonderful things. Blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. So here, right in our own scriptures, we have this, the end of this book with a doxology. And also you go to 89, which is the end of Leviticus book. And here again, at the end of this, it says, blessed be the Lord, or Jehovah, forevermore. Amen and amen. So here you have another doxology, because they have gone through another book. And then you go to 106. This is the end of the Numbers book. It says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, amen. Praise ye the Lord. So that's the end of book 4, the Numbers book. Now, the Deuteronomy book does not end the same way, but it ends in a very special way. The last five Psalms are sort of a doxology. Every one of the Psalms beginning with hallelujah and ending with hallelujah. So, when you turn to 146, this is the Genesis book. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Ends with hallelujah. 47, the Exodus book. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. For it is good to sing praises unto our God. And the last verse, hallelujah. The 48th Psalm, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. This is Leviticus book. And 49, the Numbers book, hallelujah, sing of the Lord a new song, and ends with hallelujah. And the 150th Psalm, which would correspond to the Deuteronomy book, hallelujah, praise God in his sanctuary, and ends with the last words, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. To me, this was, I know it seems kind of technical and all, but to me, it was just so beautiful to think that our God, in inspiring this book, which many people consider as just a devotional type book, that he saw fit to divide it in five parts, answering to the first five books of the Bible, and that he ended each of the first four with a doxology, and the last book with the hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. So, considering the outline of the contents of these five books, I don't expect you to remember this, but this kind of gives the tone of these. The Genesis book is Psalm 141 to 41. This is a Genesis book, and just like Genesis, it concerns man. The counsels of God concerning man, all the blessings are bound up in obedience. If you take Psalm 1:1 and compare it to Genesis 1, you find that it talks about obedience. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And then back to Genesis 1:28, where he asks him to obey. So this is the gist of this whole thing. He said, blessed him, be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion. So God is blessing him and charging him to be faithful and fruitful. So then obedience is man's tree of life. And the Genesis talks about the tree of life. And Psalm 1:3 is a tree of life, too. It talks about the tree of life, tree planted by the rivers of water. We're talking about the five books of the Psalms, and we find that the 150 Psalms are divided into five books, and the one that we're noticing now is Psalm 1 through 41. The Genesis book concerning man. Obedience is man's tree of life, which we noticed in Psalm 1:3, and disobedience brought forth ruin. This is, again, regarding man. The third chapter of Genesis, of course, talks about the fall of man when he disobeyed and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So here, the second Psalm. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, so forth. I don't care. I shouldn't say I don't care, but I do care. I have, in sorting and doing all I've been doing about cleaning up my house, I've found so many lessons in the quarterly and the different publications of the General Conference, personal devil, over and over and over again. And if you really consider it, it has always been man against God. It's not the devil against God. It's man against God. The imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Man is saying against the Lord and against his anointed. So it's been always been man against God. It's still man against God. And this is the Genesis book, and it concerns man. And disobedience brought ruin and brought fall to man. I had a friend recently that said that he was preparing a series of lessons, and it was on the fall of man. I said, I believe in it. And he talked about the fifth of Romans. I said, well, that's a good starting place, because it says he fell when he should have stood upright. He missed the mark. And that's what this is talking about, and it was brought about by disobedience. And the repair of this loss on man's part, this ruin of man, can only come about by the Son of Man as a seed of the woman. So there you compare the eighth chapter, or the eighth psalm rather, I call them chapters, but they're really psalms. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, crowned him with glory and honor, and so forth. So it's really hearkening to the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, who will bruise the serpent's head. And in so doing, his heel will be bruised. In other words, his was not final, but the so-called bruising of the serpent's head will be the final destruction of sin and the consequence of sin. Psalms 42 to 72 are the Exodus book. Just like Exodus concerns Israel as a nation, so this psalm, this book of Psalms, concerns Israel's ruin, Israel's redeemer, and Israel's redemption. Because it's in Exodus 12 on that we have the Passover and the deliverance of the children of Israel from the land of bondage. And you compare that with Psalm 68 and Exodus 15, you find that it's the deliverance of Israel. In fact, this particular psalm begins with Israel's cry for deliverance, just like in Exodus, and ends with Israel's king reigning over the redeemed nation. Again, when you go to 72nd Psalm, as we did earlier, you find that it again ends with a benediction. Blessed be Jehovah God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wonderful things. Blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. So that is the end of the Exodus book. Then the Psalms 73 through 89 are the Leviticus book. Just like the book of Leviticus is concerned with the sanctuary, that is the tabernacle, temple, So this Leviticus book and the Psalms. So the counsels of God concerning the sanctuary and its relation to man, and the sanctuary in relation to Jehovah. All the way through these Psalms, it talks about the sanctuary, the congregation, the assembly, or Zion, that they are referred to in nearly every Psalm. And 89, again, the benediction. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. The fourth of these books is the 90th through the 106th Psalm. This is the Numbers book concerning Israel and the nations of the earth. Numbers, of course, is one of the books that many of us say, why did God put that in there? And you read chapter after chapter, so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and you say, ooh, this is so boring. But every once in a while, there's a wonderful little gem in there, that tells you something about somebody that's a good lesson. And so in this section, we find that it's concerning Israel and the nations of the earth. The counsels of God concern the earth, showing there is no hope or rest for the earth apart from Jehovah. All of the figures and similes in this section are from the earth as wilderness, mountains, hills, floods, grass, trees, and so forth. And the section begins with the 90th Psalm, which is a prayer of Moses. We don't think about Moses in the Psalms, but there are different writers of the different Psalms. There's Asaph, and there's the different godly men through the years that wrote these songs. And it's very interesting. Many of them, most of them, in fact, were sung in the temple. I'm sorry, I never did pay much attention when John Thompson gave me a Psalter, which was a book as big as our hymn book, all on the Psalms put to music. I was raised in a church in Pomona, California, where they sang the Psalms. And I have to admit, they were, most of them were not very tuneful, and they were very hard to sing. But our people used to struggle through them because they felt they should sing the Psalms. But here, the 90th Psalm is a Psalm of Moses. Right under the heading, it says, Moses sets forth God's promises and chastisements, the brevity of life, the prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Isn't that wonderful? No modern writer can compare to the writings of the scriptures. Moses was a man of the wilderness. We know that he spent 40 years keeping sheep in the wilderness of Sinai until God approached him and chose him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. This particular book ends or closes with a rehearsal of Israel's rebellion in the wilderness. That's one of my favorite psalms too, but you notice here again a doxology. Blessed be Jehovah God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord, or Hallelujah. So again, this book ends with a doxology. I have used this 106th Psalm many times about how Israel, even days, just days after God brought them out of Egypt, they made the golden calf. How unthankful, how terrible they were to turn aside from God in that way to worship the golden calf. That's mentioned in the 19th verse. My 15th verse is one of my favorites. You have to be careful what you pray for. He gave them a request, but sent leanness into their soul. Sometime we may get what we want, but we may be the poorer for it. So we have to watch out. And so this is what is going on in through this psalm. So that ends, the 48th verse of the 106th psalm ends the fourth book, or the numbers book, of the Psalms. Then Psalm 107 to 150 is the Deuteronomy book. It concerns God and His Word, the counsels of God concerning His Word, showing that all blessings for man, all blessings for Israel, all blessings for the earth and nations are bound up in living on the words of God. And the key verse there in Deuteronomy is the 8th chapter and the 3rd verse. This is one that Jesus used. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word there proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So you see, this sets the tone. This 107th to the 150th Psalm is talking about God and His Word, and it's the Deuteronomy book. And so in the Deuteronomy book, 8th chapter and 3rd verse, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we find that disobedience to Jehovah's word was the source of man's sorrows, Israel's dispersion, and the sanctuary's ruin, and earth's misery under the curse. So this, the blessing is to come from that same word written on the heart. This is mentioned in Jeremiah 31:31-34. And the writer and the organizer of these books brought out to the 119th Psalm is in this book. And if you haven't read it, it takes a while to read because it has 176 verses. Longest book in the Bible is right near the shortest book in the Bible. The 117th Psalm just has two verses. But the 119th Psalm is an acrostic, and it begins, each section begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So if you look at it, you see verses 1 to 8 are Aleph, 9 to 16 are Beth, 17 to 24 Gimel, Daleth, so forth, all the way through. I read that again this week, making special attention to the fact that over and over it talks about the Word, how important the Word of God is, like the 105th verse of the 119th Psalm, which we were all taught and to memorize early. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So God's Word is what is important here. And the 130th verse, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. The 133rd verse, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. So that is such a wonderful song. In fact, when we go to the New Testament, in Matthew, the fourth chapter, when Jesus was being tempted, he used these different psalms and these different portions of the scripture to answer the temptation. So he used the Deuteronomy book to answer the temptations that came to him. Man does not live by bread alone, and so on, all the way down through his temptations. The book begins with Psalm 107, verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them, concludes with five psalms, one for each book, each psalm beginning and ending with hallelujah. I mentioned that and noticed that for you, that the last five psalms begin with hallelujah and end with hallelujah. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. These things that we are bringing to you are from not only from Companion Bible, but from the Sansino books of the Bible, which are the Hebrew commentaries, and all from Rabbi Telushkin's book on Jewish literacy. I know this is a lot to present to you, but all I want you to see now is the organization. And as I said, if you have your own Bible, be sure and mark in it where these books end. And all I can say is I praise God for this wonderful part of His Word, and I look forward to gleaning some wonderful lessons from it in the future. Thank you for your time.